Good morning. This is Wendy Bauer reading to you today from the Decatur Herald and Review. It's April 24th, 2017, and we will begin on the front page with an article by Allison Petty out of Forsyth. Hundreds turn out for 25th annual Blessing of the Bikes in Forsyth. At the first Blessing of the Bikes in the Decatur area, there were 13 motorcycles. The minister stood on a picnic table in Spittler Woods, remembers Tim Kozier. It was a far cry from the roughly 1,300 people who showed up Sunday for the 25th annual event in the parking lot of the Kozier Harley-Davidson dealership in Forsyth, owned by Tim and Debbie Kozier. Each one of the riders was prayed over by volunteers, the Christian Motorcyclist Association, and GT Church, with traffic directed by the Decatur chapter of the Harley Owners Group, HOG. Among the keynote speakers were the Reverend Matt Samuels and Brenda Nevitt of GT Church. Nevitt is the widow of the Reverend B.G. Nevitt, who played a key part in the event for many years before he was killed in a motorcycle crash in 2013. After that happened, Samuels told the crowd, he didn't ride his own bike for months. But eventually he decided to start again and not let fear win, something he urged those present to do in other areas of their lives. Don't let fear rob you of life. Dream again, Samuels said. You can dream again, and whatever you've been through, we were not put on this earth to be ruled by fear. And several photographs accompany the article. The first one, Prescott Paulin, left, and the Reverend Matt Samuels, right, pray over a motorcyclist, Chris Kuhn, in the parking lot of the Kozier Harley-Davidson dealership. Then a photograph of thousands of motorcyclists, captioned, volunteers from the Christian Motorcyclist Association and GT Church, prayed over each bike and rider. Another photo, Nico Samuels and his father, the Reverend Matt Samuels, praying over Kozier Harley-Davidson owners, Tim Kozier and his wife Debbie, during the 25th annual Blessing of the Bikes. A picture outside the dealership shows Brenda Nevitt and Reverend Matt Samuels of GT Church addressing a crowd of hundreds before the 25th annual Blessing of the Bikes on Sunday. Nevitt is the widow of the Reverend B.G. Nevitt, who was the keynote speaker at the event for years before his death in 2013. And finally, another wide-angle picture showing thousands, or at least many, many hundreds of bikes and spectators, volunteers from the Christian Motorcyclist Association and GT Church, prayed over each bike and rider as they passed through lanes in the parking lot of the Kozier Harley-Davidson dealership. A story out of Decatur, written by Huey Freeman of the Herald and Review. Retrial of Murphy in stomping death of 61-year-old man to begin today. The retrial of Elliot T. Murphy in the 2009 death of a 61-year-old Decatur man is set to begin today in Macon County Circuit Court. The victim, Jerry Newingham, a Vietnam-era Army veteran, was riding his bicycle on West Sawyer Street the afternoon of August 24, 2009, when a group of about 8 teens attacked and robbed him, ending his life by repeatedly punching him and stomping on his head, police and prosecutors have said. A short time later the same day, most of the same teens found 46-year-old Kevin Wilson sitting in Garfield Park. He was attacked in the same manner but survived. He suffered multiple serious injuries and has no memory of the incident. Half-brothers Murphy, then 16, and Deontay Johnson, then 14, were identified by police and prosecutors as the leaders of the group and the ones who inflicted the most serious harm. They were tried together before a jury in October 2011 and convicted of first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder. Murphy was sentenced to 80 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Johnson received a 65-year sentence. After a panel of the Fourth Appellate Court overturned the convictions of Murphy and Johnson in October 2013, they were granted new trials. The judges cited legal issues in reaching their ruling. They said there was a conflict of interest involving an attorney in Murphy's case, and the judge who transferred Johnson to adult court should have considered treatment alternatives in the juvenile justice system. Murphy's trial is set to begin today. Johnson's new trial has not yet been scheduled. He is due in court for a pre-trial hearing May 12th. Three of the teens who were charged in connection with the attacks are serving 20-year prison sentences after pleading guilty to first-degree murder: Brandon White and twin brothers Diedrich and Frederick Roan. Associate Macon County Judge Jeffrey Geisler is presiding over the Murphy trial. The trial prosecutors are First Assistant State's Attorney Nicole Kroenke and Assistant State's Attorney Kate Kurtz. Murphy's attorney is Assistant Public Defender Bruce Berry. And also from the front page, critical week ahead for Trump. Renewed health care push, budget deadline on president's agenda. President Donald Trump is heading into one of the most challenging weeks of his presidency, juggling a renewed health care push and a looming budget deadline. It's all complicated by a potential showdown with Democrats over paying for a border wall. The symbolic 100-day mark for the administration is Saturday. That's the same day government could shut down without a budget deal. Trump has announced a rally in Pennsylvania that day. Despite Trump's dismissal that the 100-day marker is artificial, the White House is planning a packed week of activities leading up to Saturday. Trump will sign executive orders on energy and rural policies, meet with the President of Argentina, and travel to Atlanta for a National Rifle Association event. Top aides will also fan out around the country to promote the administration. Aides stressed on Sunday talk shows that funding a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border and a vote on an effort to repeal and replace President Barack Obama's health care law were priorities. But they also suggested a shutdown could be avoided. "I don't think anyone foresees or expects or would want a shutdown," said Budget Director Mick Mulvaney on Fox News Sunday. Trump would like to revive a failed effort by House Republicans to replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. He also hopes to use a $1 trillion catch-all spending bill to salvage victories on his promised border wall, a multi-billion dollar down payment on a Pentagon buildup, and perhaps a crackdown on cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration enforcement by federal authorities. But so far, negotiations have proven difficult, with disputes over the border wall and health law subsidies to help low-income people afford health insurance. House members received little information from leaders on a conference call Saturday. White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus said on NBC's Meet the Press that he believes the spending bill will include something satisfactory to reflect Trump's desire to build a wall. The legislation would keep the government running through September 30th, the end of the budget year. "We expect the priorities of the president to be reflected," Priebus said, citing ongoing talks with the House and the Senate. He added that it'll be enough in the negotiation to move forward, either with construction or the plan to get going on the border wall and border security. House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi of California described a border wall as immoral and expensive when asked if there was any scenario in which Democrats will agree to money for a wall to avoid a shutdown. "Democrats do not support the wall," she said, speaking also on NBC. "Republicans on the border states do not support the wall. The Republicans have the votes in the House and Senate and the White House to keep government open. The burden is to keep it open is on the Republicans," Pelosi said. She noted that when Trump promised to build a wall during his campaign, he never indicated he would pass billions of dollars of cost of the wall on to the taxpayer. Trump weighed in on his proposed border wall Sunday on Twitter, saying, "Eventually, but at a later date, so we can get started early, Mexico will be paying in some form for the badly needed border wall. Trump has repeatedly asserted that Mexico would pay for the wall, which he says is necessary to stop the flow of immigrants across the border illegally, as well as drug smugglers. On Obama's health law, Priebus said he'd like to have a vote on the GOP repeal and replace bill in the House this coming week. But he insisted it didn't make too much difference to the White House whether the vote came next Friday or Saturday or Monday. It's a marathon, not a sprint, he said. Trump tweeted a warning at Democrats on Sunday saying Obamacare is in serious trouble. The Dems need big money to keep it going, otherwise it dies far sooner than anyone would have thought. Trump is also planning to outline a tax cut plan on Wednesday. He told the Associated Press on Friday that it would include a massive tax cut for both individuals and corporations. On Fox, Mulvaney said to expect some specific governing principles, some guidance, also some indication on what the rates are going to be. He added, "I don't think anybody expects us to roll out bill language on Wednesday." The White House is eager to tout progress on the litany of agenda items Trump promised to fulfill in his first 100 days, despite setbacks including court bans on his proposed immigration limits and the high-profile failure in repealing and replacing Obamacare. The president said Friday he spent his first 100 days laying the foundation for progress later in his administration, including building relationships with foreign leaders. And an article from the Associated Press, "Giraffe's Baby Boosts Zoo's Upkeep Conservation." April the giraffe has brought a bundle to a tiny zoo in rural upstate New York thanks to a YouTube video live stream of her pregnancy and birth of an incredibly cute calf that has riveted viewers around the world. Owners of the for-profit Animal Adventure Park won't say exactly how much they've pulled in from all April-related ventures, but internet marketing experts conservatively estimate the haul in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. The money will be used for zoo upkeep, wildlife conservation in Africa, and a favorite cause of the zoo's founders, local children with unexpected medical expenses, the park owners say. The monies are going to allow the park to continue to grow and improve, said Jordan Patch, who started the 20-acre zoo with his wife 4 years ago in Harpersville, about 130 miles northwest of New York City. But also, the money will help support our conservation efforts in Africa, so we're actually providing tangible results for wild giraffes. The ventures include the Toys R Us-sponsored YouTube stream, monetized text messages, a clothing line, and the sale of t-shirts, caps, and fuzzy toys. All Patch would say for sure, money-wise, is that a GoFundMe campaign has raised more than $150,000 for the care of April, her mate Oliver, and their male calf, as well as upgrades to their exhibit space. And he expects 150,000 park visitors, twice as many as last year, to pay $11 to $13 to see the giraffe family, along with the park's 200 other animals, including alligators, monkeys, and zebras. Neither Patch nor Toys R Us, which features a giraffe as its corporate mascot, would talk about how many dollars were attached to April's video stream. After coming online February 23rd, it has become the second most-watched live stream in YouTube history, with more than 232 million views and 7.6 billion minutes of live watch time. Digital media analysts say the money alone may be beside the point. "Every marketer dreams of getting something that will go viral," said Alan Adamson of Brand Simple Consulting, which helps companies define and market their brand. "The real value is the way the organization has been cemented in millions of people's minds in a compelling way. You can't buy advertising like that." Danny Fratella of Social Blade, which provides social media statistics and earnings estimates, said he believes the video live stream alone has been a major moneymaker. I couldn't speculate as to how much Toys R Us is paying, but I'm sure it's a huge chunk of change, probably in the low six figures, he said. Still, some YouTube followers have griped about some of the park's approach to the animal's birth, such as the $5 charge to sign up for Giraffe News text alerts and $1 to vote for a baby name that will be announced May 1st. And from the local page, Tony Reed of the Herald and Review writes, Moequa Man receives Eagle Scout Medal 56 years after he earned it. From Decatur, if there was a Boy Scout badge for patience, Terry Smith would have earned it. And the 72-year-old Smith could pin it next to his Eagle Scout medal, which he received Sunday in a special ceremony, 56 years after he earned that back in 1961. Does the eagle still mean the same to me? Asked a beaming Smith who lives in Moequa. It means more, because my family helped me get it. The eagle finally landed on Smith's chest during a special award ceremony at the Lincoln Trails Council Annual Meeting and Recognition Dinner held at Richland Community College in Decatur. Smith's wife, Sue, and his children and grandchildren were there to see him receive the award, with grandson Avery, 10, a member of Scout Troop 85 in Moequa, pinning on the eagle medal while Avery's 13-year-old brother, Parker, secured the eagle neckerchief in place. Smith recalled how he had done all the project work to earn one of Scouting's highest awards, and his big effort had been securing log steps in place on the former Camp Robert Ferry's facility in Decatur. But the project work had to be reviewed by a committee, and that had got canceled back when John F. Kennedy was president after a key committee member suffered a fatal heart attack. Smith said he was getting ready to leave school at the time and head off into the family plumbing business, and there wasn't time to worry about soaring on the wings of eagles. Back then, I was not thinking about it much. It wasn't a priority at the time, he recalled. But he never quite forgot it either, and neither did his younger brother, now the Reverend Ted Smith, pastor of Mound Chapel Church of God in Decatur. He was among the family members urging his older brother to finally go ahead and claim his just reward. And he saw the Eagle Award as acknowledging more than just his sibling's scouting ability. He has always been my mentor, always been my friend, and I've always looked up to him, the 62-year-old pastor told Sunday's awards dinner. And if there was something I could do to help him out, I was on board. Starting work about a year ago, they dug up Smith's old Eagle Scout project records. He still had most of them. And then dug through ancient records in the Lincoln Trails Council basement. They still had them, too. To fill out the paperwork to claim the eagle. Smith still had to face a review committee, but with no sudden fatalities this time, he managed to ace that, too. Along the way, he has rekindled his own interest in scouting and has been volunteering his help to assist the scouts of the Donald Trump presidential era. He also hopes getting the eagle now will encourage his own grandchildren in scouts. Anyway, when you get to be 72 years old, how much longer are you going to wait? He added with a smile. And the sidebar to the article says, regarding eagle history, a check of records shows the oldest person to become an Eagle Scout is Walter Hart, 88, who recently received his award. He had earned the honor in the 1940s, but went off to serve in World War II before it could be presented. The oldest living Eagle Scout is Lamar Wallace, 105, who earned the award 90 years ago. And the two photographs that accompany the article show Terry Smith doing the Scout salute as he prepares to receive his Eagle Scout Award on Sunday, 56 years after he earned it. And the next picture, the Eagle Scout medal is pinned on Smith's chest by his 10-year-old grandson, Avery Smith. Avery's brother, Parker, 13, then presented Granddad with his Eagle Scout neckerchief. Allison Petty from the Herald and Review writes from Decatur, law enforcement to crack down on distracted driving in Macon County. Law enforcement agencies throughout Macon County and the state will be driving home the point this week that cell phone use behind the wheel won't be tolerated. Today marks the start of the state's first Distracted Driving Awareness Week, an initiative of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. Texting while driving has been outlawed in Illinois since 2010, and using a handheld cell phone while driving has been prohibited since 2014. Yet it's not uncommon to see people doing so, police say. We get numerous infractions every week, said Sergeant Ron Atkins of the Macon County Sheriff's Office. The larger issue is harder to keep track of, and that's the wrecks that are caused by distracted driving. It can be very difficult to prove after the fact. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration tracks crashes involving distracted drivers and estimated that such accidents killed 3,477 people and injured 391,000 in 2015. Deputies from the Sheriff's Office and officers from the Decatur Police Department and Decatur Park Police will be out looking specifically for distracted driving behavior this week, according to representatives from those agencies. Both Atkins and Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer of the Decatur Police Department said there was no question that cell phone use caused at least some traffic accidents over the past few years. Hagemeyer noted that it's common to see people using the speakerphone function on their phones while holding them away from their ears. That behavior still violates the law, which only allows for phone conversations through a hands-free Bluetooth device, he said. It's not ear-free, it's hands-free, he said. Atkins said it's important to note that some activities, while not prohibited by state statute, should be avoided. Those include putting on makeup, eating food, playing with a pet, and adjusting the radio. All those aren't illegal per se, but they can lead to an accident if somebody's not careful, Atkins said. And the sidebar shows by the numbers, 3,477 people killed in motor vehicle crashes involving distracted driving in 2015. 660,000 estimated number of people using electronic devices while driving during the day. 391,000 people injured in crashes involving distracted driving in 2015. And 31% of recent survey respondents who admitted to typing or sending a text while driving. And from Bloomington, Kevin Barlow of the Herald and Review News Service writes, Duckworth talks healthcare, Trump during town hall. From Bloomington. Each morning when Tammy Duckworth wakes up, the U.S. Senator begins the day with one assumption. I assume that the people I disagree with in my job, whether it's the president, folks from my party, or the other party, I have to believe that they love this country just as much as I do, she said during a town hall meeting Sunday at Illinois Wesleyan University's Hanson Student Center. I assume as much as we may have opposite views on an issue such as eliminating the Environmental Protection Agency or women's reproductive rights, I assume as hard as it can be sometimes that they love this country just as much as I do, and I try to work from there and try to work together, Duckworth said. Duckworth discussed a number of topics, including the first 100 days of the new administration, environmental issues, education reform, immigration reform, and health care reform during the 90-minute meeting attended by about 350 people. I want this administration to succeed because if it succeeds, then the American people succeed, she said. If the administration would put the well-being of the American people first, I would feel better. He is making too many cuts and we will fight him every step of the way. And this is where everyone who is making phone calls and sending emails is making a difference. Duckworth, a Democrat from Hoffman Estates, said she has major concerns about Trump's environmental plans. I don't think what President Donald Trump has done on the environment is permanent yet, but I think he is well on his way, and the latest rumor is that he plans on shutting down the EPA office for the Midwest region, she said. That office takes care of the entire Midwest and was the first to raise the flag on the waters in Flint, Michigan. We need that office. Several members in the audience wanted to know more about where health care reform was headed. What the Republicans and President Trump promised with the repeal of the Affordable Care Act was that they were going to replace it with something better, she said. So far, I haven't seen anything better. The proposal that came forward would actually decrease access for men ages 50 to 65, and you would actually not get as much coverage. There are a couple of key words that are red flags, and one of them is pre-existing conditions. Almost all of us have pre-existing conditions. Anyone with a pre-existing condition would be moved into a high-risk pool, so you would still have access to insurance, but it will cost more, and you may not be able to afford it. Duckworth, who lost both legs when her helicopter was shot down in Iraq, said she will continue to fight for a better health care act, but understands that it won't be easy or quick. Before I was wounded, I was almost always one of the most physically fit people in any given room, because as a pilot you had to be, she said. But that can change in the blink of an eye, and that is why we have to have a good health care plan in place. Shirley Campbell of Bloomington said she felt a little bit better about the future of the country after listening to Duckworth. In the news, you often only hear Trump's version, but you listen to her and know that he is not going to be able to do everything he wants, and people like Tammy are going to stand up and fight for us, she said. Jeremy Romero of Bloomington said he was an independent and didn't vote for Duckworth during the last election, but was impressed with some of her views. I think she presents herself very well, and I can see why people really like her, he said. She is engaging, and I think she is very smart and has the best interests of our country at heart. And there's a photograph that accompanies the article, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth listening to a citizen's question during Sunday's town hall meeting at Illinois Wesleyan's Hanson Student Center in Bloomington. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner served as the moderator during the 90-minute meeting, and he is also pictured. And from the local page, the meetings calendar, here is a list of the scheduled government meetings and other activities of interest in Decatur and Macon County. Today, the Harristown Village Board of Trustees at 7 p.m. in the Village Hall at 185 North Kembark Street. Maroa City Council at 7 p.m. in City Hall, 120B South Locust Street. Macon County Board Operations and Personnel Committee at 5:30 p.m., Room 514, Macon County Office Building, 141 South Main Street in Decatur. NAACP Decatur Branch Executive Board at 6 p.m., Branch at 7 p.m., Dr. George Coates Community Center at 550 South Greenwood Avenue. The Whitmore Township Board at 7 p.m., Town Hall, 204 West Bower Street in Oriana. On Tuesday, the Long Creek Township Board of Trustees at 5 p.m. in the Township Boardroom, 2610 Salem School Road in Decatur. On Wednesday, the Macon County Board Transportation Committee at 5:30 p.m., Room 514 in the Macon County Office Building, 141 South Main Street in Decatur. And this has been Wendy Bauer reading to you from the Decatur Herald and Review on April 24th, 2017. We will take a short break now and return with the second half of our reading for today in just a few minutes. Thank you.